Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome in to Players Only with Chiefs Radio Network color analyst Danan Hughes.
Excellent throw and catch. Just gets inside, uses his big body. No answer for number 87.
And former NFL linebacker Joe Mays.
Mays missed him first. And in typical North Dakota State toughness, Mays got up and stayed with it and got Newton from behind.
Hello. Check this out.
Players Only, presented by U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit.
What's going on, Chiefs Kingdom? We are back in the building. Players Only back. Seems like it's been a long time since we've been back on the air with the Thanksgiving holiday last week. The podcast was just on the radio.com app. Hopefully you listeners out there got a chance to check it out. A fun show with just me and Joe.
Barbershop
we
was missing.
We had a diva that didn't want to show up.
Yeah, he was in my... I don't know what happened.
Man, I was sequestered.
Anyway, this is Players Only. Back again. We only give him 3 seconds at a time to speak.
Yeah.
Joe Mays in the building, 8-year NFL pro.
Whoop, whoop.
My name is Danan Hughes, former wide receiver with the Kansas City Chiefs, 6 years. And we got Sean Barber in the building, former linebacker in the NFL also.
And he's so sequestered.
Yeah, he only shows up when pristine opportunities and weather and all that good stuff.
You know what? You want to give me the definition of sequestered?
Hey, man, listen. I had a COVID situation, so we were quarantined, self-quarantined. Listen, man. The state puts out certain protocols that when somebody is contact tracing or whatever, you got.
Where's your mask at now?
Again, we are more than 6 feet apart. If somebody came to the studio, they realized we are more than 6 feet apart. I don't plan on being closer than that to any one of y'all for no prolonged period of time. And so, yes, we had a situation in my household. So I had to sequester. I had to go ahead and self-quarantine myself for the 14 days, and that prevented me from being on the show.
Can I get the definition of sequestered?
Yeah. It is what it is.
He's been watching too much Law and Order.
Sequestered is what sequestered is.
We know what he was doing.
Law and
Ka-chung.
Order.
Dum-bum-bum-bum.
I like that.
Well, for all the listeners out there, this may be your first time listening or you've heard us before. This is Players Only. We come to you every week during the season. All three of us, just a roundtable discussion, just chopping it up, talking about things that are going on the field, off the field, especially with our Chiefs, but just from a player's perspective, just like we would be sitting in the locker room or chatting after practice. So we appreciate all the listeners out there. Just as a reminder, our phone lines and text lines are open, 913-576-7610. Make sure you hit us up. We appreciate it. So in this first quarter of the show, as spoken about earlier, brought to you by our friends at U.S. Bank, whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. Guys, the Chiefs had a game. It seems like it's been forever since that game happened, but actually it was just this past Sunday against the Golden Boy, Tom Brady, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Good win.
Yeah.
A little closer than people probably would have liked for comfort.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but definitely a good win. I thought they made some really good statements in that game.
I mean, yeah. I mean, being able to throw the ball and catch the ball for 200-some yards after the first quarter. I mean, ridiculous. I mean, you don't see numbers like that often at all. So to see it happen and for it to look so easy, I mean, it's just ridiculous. But I enjoy watching it. I enjoy you know, watching those guys go out there, have fun, and take care of business. And they got the W. It wasn't pretty at all. You know, there were some moments where you was kind of scratching your head, kind of wondering what was going to happen. But I think at the end of the day, the W is what's most important, and the fact that they're out there having fun while doing so is amazing.
Do you think that the Chiefs have proven league-wide that if you're going to run a defense, that you're going to say, "Hey, we're going to go straight man. We're going to go mano a mano. We think that we can match up across the board against you guys." I think if there's ever been a case that has been proven, I think that last Sunday the Chiefs proved it is a losing battle.
Yeah.
To go man against man, mano a mano against our wide receivers across the board.
Wasn't it funny? I mean, like, I'm in the booth with Mitch. He and I are doing the game. And I made mention, I don't know, like, because obviously part of us, we're fans. We're former players, but we're fans as well, just like the fans out there listening. But I don't know if I'm more entertained or if it's more of funny. Like the game is like, if you listen to the broadcast, you'll hear me laughing in the background at times. And I know that's not as professional and sharp as what you know, Chris Collinsworth and all those guys on TV. But there are times where during the game, it is absolutely hilarious to see how things unfold when the Chiefs are clicking on all cylinders, when they're throwing the ball around, when you're, like Barbershop mentioned, man to man. The funniest part of that game, and I want to say, you know, NFL is not a joke, but sometimes there's some funny stuff. The funniest part of that game is seeing the transition, as Barbershop mentioned, from we're going to come after you. We got these rabid dogs on our side, this front seven, and Ndamukong Suh and Barrett and White and David and, you know, JPP. We're going to come after you and play man-to-man. And then to see the transition, from man-to-man, bump and run, to two deep zone.
Oh yeah.
To protect their corners.
Oh yeah.
And take away some of the big plays. Like, for the general fan, they may not recognize that, and I'm not saying that in a puffed out chest way. Mm-hmm. It's just that we see the game differently. But when you see, it's like when you see that guy come out for the first round of a boxing match, and he's throwing haymakers, and he's trying to knock the dude out, and he gets tapped a few times. Then all of a sudden, in the second round, third round, he becomes a boxer.
Yeah.
Now he's trying to box and throw, you know, jab, jab, hook, jab, jab, hook, you know. And now his whole mindset has been thrown differently. To me, in the NFL, at the top echelon of any kind of sport, to see that transition is funny. It's not, I mean, it's more than just fandom. It is actually hilarious to me. And we've done that against, you think about the bully teams that we play. Mm. The teams that try to step on the field and impose an aura about them before the first play even starts. I think about the Ravens, and I think about the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Justifiably so. Very good defenses. You guys would know better than me. But when you see that transition, when you see the glazed look go over their eyes, and they're halfway defeated from what they've been planning the entire week. They prepared the entire week. We're going to do this to them. You know, we're going to get up in Tyreek Hill's mouth. We're going to choke him at the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
And we're going to bump and run. And we're going to bracket Travis Kelce. And we got these dogs up front that beat those guys. They got a decimated offensive line. And Mitchell Schwartz is not there. And we're going to get on the corner. We're going to blitz him up and we're going to knock around Patrick Mahomes. That's all the conversation you guys would know what goes on in the defensive locker room and defensive meetings. And then to get stiff jabbed a couple few times in the first quarter to the point where, all right, fellas, we're just going back out.
Is stiff jab the word? Here. I don't know what. I think that might be a slap. That was a slap. That was disrespectful.
We just go, like, y'all been on defenses. Some really good defenses and then some defenses that get gashed. Yo, what's that feeling on the sideline? Like, I have to imagine those guys would be like, dang.
Here
like,
we go.
This is real. That film wasn't on speed. Like, it wasn't on extra fast. This is real deal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, leading up to it, we talked a good game. We talked about everything that we were supposed to do. All right? We were supposed to come out like some mad dogs, come out hitting on all cylinders, smacking everything moving. Like, we had this conversation. So, I mean, after this first quarter, we getting slapped. Like, we getting really, really disrespected. I wonder what the DBs felt on the sideline.
Well, you saw the one DB. So they kept putting him on camera, and he had his head down. He wished he was, he said, man, why couldn't I get that COVID? Why couldn't I be in that protocol right now?
Whatever happened to cover two?
Like, he just snatched the money right out of his pocket.
Yeah, sure did. They made him look pretty bad, and I'm kind of hoping that it doesn't, you know, take away his confidence moving further into the season, because that right there was a bad showing, and your coaches didn't do you any favors by putting you out there on the island. What you think, Barbershop?
I mean, I think on Saturday night we saw Nate Robinson go into a boxing match, and he had a game plan. He thought he was going to go in there against his social media star, and he's going to go in there and like, yeah, I'm going to handle my own. And he got laid out. And then we saw Tampa's defense do the same thing.
They
went out there just like Nate Robinson, thought they was going to go out there and throw some haymakers. And Tyreek Hill laid them out in the first quarter, and they realized that ain't going to work, dog. What we worked on all week
ain't going to work, man.
And we got to somehow make it to halftime so we can readjust this thing. And they made some adjustments at halftime, and they kept us to obviously only one score in the second half. But by that time, the game was already – I mean, like, people wanted to – Yeah, it became a close game, and it was one score game at the end, and this one, man, the Chiefs had control of that ball game from the first kickoff to the last snap, and I believe that the Chiefs have shown Pat Mahomes has shown a evolution of being able to acknowledge and recognize what the defense is doing, and then he attacks it. What the call was don't matter. He realized the weakness in his defense was right there at 10. You can't guard 10 that way.
Yeah.
And I don't care what the play call was, I'm going to 10 because he's one-on-one against somebody that cannot stay with him. And so at that point of the game, man, when he's clicking like that and he's acknowledging and being aware of what you're doing defensively and he can diagnose it that quickly and attack it, man, defense is no stand a chance.
Can we acknowledge the fact that this man did not know how to read defenses until he came to the NFL?
Self-admittedly. You know what? You guys hit it on another topic that I want to tackle later about the best wide receivers in the game. Mm-hmm. And we may be able to get to that the next segment, just going around the league. But this was a great win by the Chiefs against a team that many had picked to be representing the NFC in the Super Bowl as a home team, the first team ever to host a Super Bowl down in Tampa. I don't know if they'll get there. We've been down that road before as this Chiefs organization, as well as other teams, where you just are not your best in week 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
But then you hit a stride. And we all know as long as you make it to that dance in January, anything can happen. And so I would not push aside Tom Brady and the Buccaneers and them righting the ship and getting back into the fold of being a team to be reckoned with and maybe have an opportunity if the Chiefs still stay the course to meet down in Tampa, but I can tell you that they were exposed mm-hmm. in that game last week, and they were exposed from the beginning, and the fact that the Chiefs were able to kind of stand on top of them from the beginning and do it in a decisive fashion. And when you talk about Tyreek Hill and him making those plays, what a lot of the fans may not realize, he is not the primary on all of those plays. Like, he's not the primary receiver on all those plays. That can be an aspect of the defense that they're presenting and Patrick Mahomes' willingness to take a chance.
Yep.
Like, you know, I have to believe that not knowing the exact verbiage in the huddle, but being in the huddle in the past, sometimes the playmakers are the second and third guy in that route combination, in the route scheme,
yep.
and in the play, and in the progression. And yet, when you have really good quarterbacks, they know how to make those plays or get those plays done. So, yeah, it was a definite all-around good effort. We'll talk more about the defense because I want to hear these guys' perspective about this defense. One specific area And we're going to bring that up next.
Only with Danan Hughes and Joe Mays on 610 Sports Radio.
And we're back. Second quarter, players only. Sean Barber, Joe Mays, and I'm Danan Hughes. Our second quarter, whether you are dealing with home ownership, starting a business, or retirement, our second quarter is sponsored by our friends at U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit.
I thought we talked about letting Sean do that.
No, he butchered it last week.
You got to let him do the U.S. Bank one
no,
more time.
No, he can't. No. Julio, mute the mic if he ever brings up anything with a banking or anything like that.
Hey, man, U.S. Bank, whatever is your passion, we can make your pursuit.
You're trying to make it sound like the slow jam.
You know what I mean? I say it's so nice and so lovely.
Y'all ain't going to mess up my sponsors in this show now.
I think they appreciate it.
Shoot.
It's giving them more airtime. Look, we still talking about it, but 2 minutes later?
All right, guys. So we were talking about the defense, and I wanted to get you guys' perspective. But before we get to that, actually, in conjunction with that, we're going to look at the text line. Mm-hmm. And Joe, we got one from the 785. Is Frank Clark a little under the weather, or are teams lining up different to neutralize home?
No, he's not under the weather. I think it may just be one of them things where teams, they know how to block him. I don't know. I don't know. Like, you would expect, you know, for him to be one of those guys to go out there and make a lot more plays than he has.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just everyone has a season, and it just doesn't seem like it's been his season thus far. And you're kind of hoping that it takes,
was like last year too.
Yeah,
it was this point, it hadn't really been. It hadn't been. You know, uneventful.
So I'm saying everything to keep away from the whole being overpaid thing. You know, that's what everybody is really talking about at the moment. I'm trying to go around that whole little. You know, I'm not trying to go right into the whole overpaid. I'm just trying to go around it. You know, I'm trying to come up with an excuse for the man.
You know what? I want you guys to explain from a defensive perspective. When you are a rush end or a rush outside linebacker, mm-hmm. like I think a lot of people watching the game, like, and I played with one of the best to ever do it, Derek Thomas.
Yeah.
And you can run the hump running around the edge, or you can have a spin move or a bull rush. You know, you got assortment of moves as that rusher. But in recognizing or knowing that a person has an assortment of rush techniques, explain how those rush techniques aren't always available for you to do. Because, like, the first thing that comes to my mind is you can't have Frank Clark line up on the outside edge, spin move to the inside edge, because then who would be keeping the quarterback in the pocket?
Right.
Because his responsibility is, if I can get to the quarterback around the edge, I get there, mm-hmm. but I gotta stay on the outside.
Yeah.
So, you know, now as a tackle who's blocking you, he may recognize, okay, well, I know he wants to go upfield, so I'm just going to keep pushing him upfield because he's not gonna spin move on me. It's kind of like a basketball player on the court, one-on-one, and a screen comes.
Yeah.
Like, you know there's really only one way that person's going to go, so then you can shade him that way because you're recognizing what's in front of you.
Right. Yeah, and you go into the games, I think all the defensive linemen know, especially the ends, you know, to hold on to the edge, no matter what, whether you're rushing a passer or whether you're holding up against the run, you have to hold on to the edge. Now, when you're playing certain quarterbacks, so in this case they play Tom Brady, he's not mobile. A guy that can get out and run. No. He's not mobile at all.
And when you say hold the edge, that means for the listeners, your outside shoulder is free.
It's always free.
So you can, if you're on the right side of the defensive line, you're taking on that tackle with your left shoulder because you want to keep your outside shoulder free in case of the escape route for the quarterback.
Yeah, like Mahomes do. He always escaped the pocket. He's able to make plays on the move. So, you know, and then, like I said before, you have to know your quarterback. You have to know who you're going up against. Brady, he's not mobile. So you may be able to give him that edge and let him move around a little bit, and you can definitely chase him down. Yeah, so that could have been part of the plan. I don't know. I wasn't in the meeting room, so I don't exactly know what they talked about. But I think those guys, they normally come up with, you know, different things that they can do on the sideline.
Yeah.
A lot of the times they don't really include the coaches on what they do on the field, because at the end of the day, it's the players playing. So
that's
you know,
a great point.
If you're going to lose that edge, you make sure you have that opposite end that's going to come down and be prepared to chase.
Which happened a lot in the game. And yeah. And just to give you a visual for all the listeners out there, there were times where you saw Frank Clark rush upfield, spin move or swim move to the inside of the tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why he felt comfortable trying to do that is because Chris Jones or Derek Nnadi was folding back behind him to take his responsibility for the outside.
So a natural twist game.
Yeah, so a natural. Yep. So you hear the broadcasters talking about a TE stunt or a tackle end stunt where they're running twists. That's kind of what unfolds. It's just not drawn up that way.
Right.
It's hey, you get into the huddle, Chris, yo, CJ, yo, Nnadi, I'm gonna try to hit that inside gap, back me up on the outside.
Yep.
Type of deal where you're replacing somebody else's responsibility.
A lot of times it's like recognition of the formation. So a lot of times the back's away, you know, the back is going to block to the strong side. So, you know, if you're on the back side away from the back, you know, the line is sliding away, right? And so if you got a TE stunt coming that way, you know, you can do a quick inside move knowing that tackle's going to wrap and he's going to be free to contain the quarterback. But in that same instance, if you're to the side of the running back, that same TE move, if that back captures your outside shoulder when you wrap, that's going to give that quarterback an escape route outside of you. So you got to go really, really flat. And so a lot of those things are, you know, when you talk about diagnosing how you're going to attack a passer, attack a offensive formation, whether they're in the AT, A7, T7, T6, max protection, slide protection, all these different protections they have as how the offense is going to account for the D-line and linebackers if they come. A lot of those things define how you can actually attack your pass rushing gaps. And so I mean, it's just not as simple as see ball, get ball. And
yeah,
I think a lot of people think
that's a lot of people
the
think.
Best athlete should be able to, you know, Frank Clark is a better athlete than the tackle, so he should get home, you know, more times than not. It's so much more complicated than that, and it's not even worth, like, on radio trying to go in it because you don't have the grease board to really show the listeners.
You'd have to show, ultimately, we would have to show it on a screen and video to kind of see the making behind the madness, what really goes on. And I think that's really interesting because, you know, when you pay guys a lot of money and they are in that premium positions of rush end, outside linebacker, shut down corner or what have you, you expect them, like, if they don't show up with big plays, you think that they are a bust. You think that they're, you know, they're not worth their money. In reality, some of the things that they may be being asked to do may not equate to stats on the page.
Yep.
For instance, you got Tom Brady, who's a quarterback and not very mobile. So the idea of blitzing him and knocking him down may not necessarily always be a part of the defensive plan. It may be just to constrict the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have both ends, Tano Passanio, Frank Clark, looking to push the tackles back into the quarterback so that the pocket gets smaller as opposed to running, trying to use their speed to run around the big, fat outside tackles thinking that they can get to the quarterback. Because if they don't get there, guess what you did? You opened up more time for Tom Brady to survey the field.
Yeah.
So there's always a method to the madness. So in regards to the Frank Clark question, we appreciate you from the 785. He's going to get his. And, you know, he's one of the more dominant pass rushers. He's got one of the quickest, if not the quickest, first couple of steps off the line of scrimmage, I believe, that's been measured or calculated in the NFL. And he hits his stride. He'll hit his stride. And I definitely got total confidence in him. One other one from the offensive side, just to flip it over. Again, we're getting these from the text line, 913-576-7610. And this one's from the 913. Could you address the Mecole Hardman drop? What was that, the worst pass Mahomes ever threw, or did Hardman run the wrong pattern?
He can read, ladies and gentlemen. He can read.
Well, trust me, this text is a little bit off.
But he can read.
I got what you was trying to get to. All right, so here's the deal. When you run a seam route, as a slot receiver, what I was taught as a receiver is that you need to be 2 to 4 yards inside the numbers. And if the quarterback brings you in more to the hash, let the quarterback bring you inside. because the quarterback is seeing the safeties and knows exactly where he wants to throw the ball. So a lot of times, think back to some of the routes down the middle that you've seen Travis Kelce run, and some of the spot routes 15, 20 yards down the field where it's between two linebackers before the safeties get there. We've seen that a lot. But when you're running a seam route, we were always taught run straight up the seam, 2 yards inside the numbers, and if the quarterback wants to bring you in, he'll throw the ball in so you can adjust. So you're trusting that the quarterback is going to throw you away from the safety so that you don't get decapitated.
Right.
In that situation, if you watch that play, and this is me as a wide receiver, Mecole Hardman, which is another tough thing. As a wide receiver, when you run down the field, imagine running full speed sprint and then turning your head. What also has a tendency to turn? Your shoulders.
Yep.
So if you turn your head and your shoulders turn, guess what else starts to turn? Your legs. You start to bend in more than you really thought you were because you didn't snap your head around. You just kind of flowed in. So to me, to answer that question, I thought it should have been a better route by Mecole Hardman. It's definitely a pass that Patrick Mahomes can throw most of the time with his eyes closed, probably.
Yep.
But the route threw off Patrick Mahomes because he was expecting Mecole Hardman to stay straight up the field, and Mecole Hardman started to bend in just a bit. And as even he talked about after the game, he said, I tried to stick it on him because I knew he had clear lane. I tried to stick it on him and not allow the safety to get over there quick by putting some loft on it, and I just threw it behind him. But I also think there was an aspect of that Mecole Hardman could have ran a better route.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Just that simple.
So you linebackers, see how deep I had to go on the offensive side while you linebackers just said it's not just about see ball, hit ball. See how intricate I had to do for all you listeners out there, all the offensive guys. You know, we have to go deep. Ours is like a beautiful mind on the chalkboard, and the defensive guys is like grunt, hit.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Before they get a chance to comment, we gotta go to a break. When we come back, we got some guys on. we got some calls. We got some text messages to get to, and we got the Broncos coming in town.
This is Players Only with Damon Hughes and Joe Mays on 610 Sports Radio.
And we're back. Halftime's over. Players Only. Joe Mays in here. Sean Barber just ran out like he had to go potty or something. I don't know. He just waited till the last minute. And I'm Damon Hughes, and we're back for the third quarter. Sponsored by our friends at U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help. Turn it into your next pursuit. We got J-Rock and Reggie on the line. We'll get to y'all in a second.
Can I let it breathe? Let it breathe for a second?
Go ahead, let it breathe, bro.
I didn't like the way the half ended.
You was like the Baltimore Ravens? You didn't like how the half ended?
I didn't like it. I was kind of offended. You tried to make it seem like you went through this whole little smart rant about what the offense did, and then when it came to us talking about the defense, we was talking like grunts.
What?
Wait a minute. How can you sit here and come at me like that when I just took up for the simple fact that you aren't here sounding like you can't read? You know what? I made sure to stand up for my brother because at the end of the day, he is my brother. We're on the same team.
Oh, Barbershop's back. Hold on.
This isn't an offense-defense thing.
Thanks for coming in, Barbershop.
Same team. I'm getting on him about how he's talking about us as if we're not knowledgeable.
I
want to
know how come your voice went so, like, you went to Mariah Carey level when you started. He's like, how come you got...
It's just teammates talking it out. I just wanted to let it breathe for a second. That was it.
You let it breathe. All right, my bad.
Yeah. So I'm gonna need an apology. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry.
Hey, you ready to put that bleep on Julio? You ain't getting no beep.
USA.
Okay, let me grab my ears.
USA. I just need to let it breathe.
I need to go to the Leia Center and get a massage.
Now we talking. Sauna.
Salt. You got the salt room with the sauna on the inside. Yep. We got the cryotherapy chamber.
I'm not going to get a Yanni, though.
I don't want to get a Yanni.
For all the listeners with women, look up a Yanni.
Yanni's theme.
Then you know what I'm talking about.
Look up Yanni's theme, and yes, we do that at the Leia Center.
All right, guys, we got J-Rock. J-Rock's on the line. He wants to talk about Frank Clark. What you got, J-Rock?
My guys, what's going on tonight? How y'all doing?
Doing all right, bro. Good, how man. You?
Man, great to talk to you guys, man. Great to talk to you guys. I've been listening to you guys ever since the show started, and I just want to give y'all much props.
Appreciate you.
What y'all done to with the Kansas City Chiefs and then just the Kansas City community, man. I get much props to you, black man.
Thank you.
As far as Frank Clark, man, I call him, he's the what they call him, playoff Rondo. He's the playoff Frank Clark. And I say that to say he brings a lot of goodness to our team. But what it is with the regular season, I don't know what it is. And I know I can say we because I played football from high school to college on a decent level. Didn't make it to the pros. But his motor's there, but at times it's not. For whatever reason, I'm not saying he don't play any harder than the other man, but for whatever, I go back, I look at Phil myself. I look at Chris Jones and Tommy getting double teamed. Every blue moon, Frank Clark get double teamed. Every blue moon. And he's still not beating his man, but I know come playoff time, he's going to be there. I know he's going to be there. And as far as our defense as whole, it just at times, again, we nitpicking. We're 10-1, so we just nitpicking over little small stuff. And so this is just what I see with football eyes. Not as great as you guys, but with football eyes. I don't want our defense to get us in a situation where we're in trouble. Like, Mahomes is the greatest ever. But there's going to be a time where we might get in a pinch, and we might need that defense to come through. And we've seen at times where our ace on defense, Matthew, we've seen at times where he got, you know, saying stumbled in his head to where he made mishaps.
Yeah.
We've seen times where, my man West, ever since he's come back off his head injury, man, my man, he's been tippy-toeing the line with me, man. Like, honestly, a year or two ago, I thought he was the best thing we caught since sliced bread. I thought we got a steal.
Yeah.
But this year, since he messed his hand up, I've been kind of worried about my man. Breeland, he's Breeland. He gets that hold in that pass interference time they call, but then he'll make a good play at time. Yep. So I'm like, I look at it like this. It's a pyramid to me. It starts with our D-line, from our D-line to our linebackers, from our linebackers
definitely.
To our secondary. Yep. So the better our D-line do as far as with the pass rush, getting to that, they're going to make better plays for the second to our linebackers. To us, linebackers will be in position. Our linebackers, to me, honestly, aren't the greatest. They're not, but they're in position where they're making plays.
You're right, man.
A long way.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's a complete unit.
Yes,
situation, man. I appreciate your comments, and I got a question for my guys in here. Thanks for calling, J-Rock. We appreciate your support. Guys, his first comment I thought was great when he talked about Frank Clark being playoff Frank or playoff Rondo.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a bad thing? I'm not saying he is or he isn't, but would that be a bad thing with this type of team, with this structure, knowing going into the season pretty much – if everybody stays healthy, this is a playoff team.
Yeah.
Like, is that a bad thing that you have a guy that you're paying that much that, let's say he does step it up just for the playoffs?
I mean, it's a bad thing, you know, from the outside looking in, because as a fan, you see a guy getting paid.
You want him 18, all 17, million. You want him all 16 weeks.
I need to see $20 million every single week you show up.
Mm.
So, you know, from a player's
standpoint,
we're not thinking about that. I mean, at the end of the day, the organization made the decision to pay him the amount of money that he's getting paid. Now it's his turn to go up there and show up and show out. And, you know, if it's the playoffs that he shows up and shows out, I mean, you can't really be mad at that, because that's when the games really, truly count. You lose, you go home. And so, you know, for him to show up and show out and really prove himself during those times. I mean, I'll take that any day of the week.
Barbershop?
Man, regular season, you jockey for positions. You try to work on some things. You work on some concepts. You want to build some trust, the camaraderie. You want to build some, you know, where guys are confident in the pass rush, confidence in the coverage, confidence in the linebackers filling certain gaps. So D-linemen, hey, I'm holding a double team. I know this linebacker's coming within a half second to relieve me of this double team, so I can keep the pressure. All these things you work on for 16, 17 weeks. But when it comes to the playoffs, that's when your stars got to shine. That's when you got to be hitting on all cylinders. And the one thing we've seen from Frank Clark is that when the playoffs come, when it's time to win or go home, that's when he shines.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there's anybody who can be called the closer, when it's time to close the door, shut the opponent out, and we need a big sack, we need a big play, we need some big pressure, we need something to stop the other team. When it comes to playoff ball and they drop back, Frank Clark is the guy I want 100% coming after that pass rusher because we know what he's going to bring to the table because he's shown it. That's his that's his mantra. And so we can play almost with one arm behind our back all regular season and still be one of the best six or seven teams in the AFC to make it to the playoffs. But once you get to the playoffs, man, your record don't count no more.
Yeah, it don't matter.
It's win or go home. And so that's when you want your dogs ready to go hunt. And we talk about some dogs in the stables ready to go hunt. Frank Clark, Chris Jones, those guys being ready during the playoff push, that's what I'm focused on. So I don't really care too much about this regular season stuff.
And make no mistake, I don't think those comments are talking about his effort level. You guys are not saying that he's giving 80% effort now and he's going to turn up to 100. There's just a different level that cats get to when you get to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And sometimes during the season, you made the playoff Rondo comment, J-Rock. When you watch LeBron James, very rarely do you see LeBron James take over first quarters. He usually is passing the ball a lot in the first quarter, trying to get his other guys involved, trying to get a feel for the game. Because then when it comes to crunch time, that's when he turns it on. I kind of feel like at least for this year, we can give Frank Clark the benefit of the doubt based on what he was able to do last year in those crucial situations like Barbershop talked about. Appreciate that, J-Rock. J-Rock also followed up with a text. We appreciate you also. Reggie from Anaheim. We appreciate your call. Sir. What you got for us?
All day. I'll be quick. I have two quick questions. One, when do you guys think we're going to see DeAndre Baker get worked into the rotation leading up into the playoffs? And then two, why is it that we don't see Patrick Mahomes try to get the running backs involved more in the passing game? Like, I watched him several times when he drops back, and he don't even – I know the quarterback goes through progressions. He's not even in the running backs aren't even in his progression. It's like he don't even look their way. Like, he's looking straight downfield, which is good. But if we can't get the running game going, I feel like it's like basketball when you got a big man that's in the paint working hard for you. You got at least let him touch the ball a couple times so he can feel, involved in the offense. So why are we not seeing Andy use the screen game or just even Pat just dropping back and just throwing it to him in the flat and letting Clyde or Bell make a play in the field? Take my thoughts off there. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you, Reggie. Great comments, great questions. Guys, we got to go to a break, but Reggie and the rest of the listeners out there on Players Only, we're going to answer that question when we come back and then also tackle this upcoming opponent in the Denver Broncos.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Joe Mays on 610 Sports Radio.
And we're back for the fourth quarter, Players Only. Sean Barber, Joe Mays, and I'm Danan Hughes, sponsored by our friends at U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. Guys, we had some really good calls, a lot of great text messages on the line, and we got a great opponent, or I should say a good opponent that has the potential to play great with a little chip on their shoulder coming in this week on Sunday Night Football. But going into the break, we got the call about DeAndre Baker.
Yeah.
Who's the first-round pick corner from the Giants, got into some trouble, got released, found innocent, picked up by the Chiefs, and now we have a first-round grade corner on practice squad. Yeah. When will he see the field? Our quick answers were?
Whenever they need him.
They
don't need him right now.
Yeah, it's not needed.
He's not needed. Let him learn a little bit more about – in how the organization, how the players run the locker room and playbook and all those different things. And then after that is all said and done, he'll be ready to roll.
Yep. And then the second question was about getting Mahomes, the running backs involved. Real quick, because I know we got to talk about this upcoming matchup. Mahomes is one of those quarterbacks. If you compare him to Alex Smith, because he gets compared to Patrick Mahomes, it always seems like good and bad, but it's really not good and bad. It's really good and better.
Yeah.
And Mahomes is better. Alex Smith was good. Alex Smith, if you look through his progression, it was number one receiver, possibly number two receiver, dump to the running back. That was pretty much it. Patrick Mahomes' progression is last alternative, dump.
Yeah.
Extremely last alternative. Dump. He is constantly looking downfield because he believes in his brain that I can get 12 to 15. So why should I dump for five. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I see. When I watch the film, I'm not saying this is written in stone, but when I watch the film and I watch the games and I'm calling the broadcast, it looks like he is waiting for the extreme last moment to even think about a dump.
Yeah.
To that safety valve at that running back coming out of the backfield, because he's really waiting for those guys downfield because he knows he can get a bigger chunk.
You think running backs feel a certain type of way about that? Or
I think all running backs want to get the ball.
Yeah.
As far as their feelings are concerned, I don't know if that, you know, I don't know. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire, knowing he's coming into a situation that's a Super Bowl winning team, I don't know if you have the right to have feelings in that position. And Le'Veon Bell, coming from the circumstances that he came from, you don't necessarily have the right to have feelings either.
So they don't have rights.
That might sound harsh, but you don't have the right to have feelings, especially at a 10-1 team.
I got you.
You know what I mean? That's just how I feel. But but you're right. Yeah. Cats, they want the ball. Wide receivers want the ball. Running backs want the ball. They've gotten it all their life. They've always been the 20-carry, 30-carry guy since Pop Warner.
Big man on campus type of deal, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's how it is.
You know, I can tell you from a defense standpoint, every defense is built to take away something. Like, and because we are built to take away something, then obviously we have a weakness against something else. So if we're built to take away the deep ball, then we're giving up the short ball. If we built to take away the three-step, then we're giving up deep ball, seams, cover two, right? You can run seams all day. You can run a check down all day against cover two. Man coverage, you can run rub routes all day. Against a zone, you can flood a zone, and we can't cover three receivers with two. So every defense has a weakness. And I got to say, before Pat Mahomes, I haven't acknowledged the level of quarterback play that has been able to diagnose a defense and actually attack the weakness at the rate that Pat Mahomes is like a batter right now hitting 800.
Yeah.
Like everybody's happy with a batter hitting 300.
Yep.
And he's batting 800, and the situation for him to bunt might arise. But when the batter is hitting 800, why would you ask him to bunt?
That's a waste.
You know what I'm saying?
You know I feel you on the baseball references. You know I feel you.
Hey,
you got me out of my seat.
Come on, man. Come on. Swing away, man. I'm not asking you to bunt.
When you hit fences, baby.
You swinging 800?
I don't care if the third baseman's playing in left field.
Don't matter.
That's what we got with Pat Mahomes. Like he can click. He's clicking on such a high rate at acknowledging and diagnosing the defense. He sees the weakness before the ball is snapped. Half the times he knows where he's going to throw it, and he uses his eyes to manipulate the safeties and manipulate other players just to create a bigger seam for that offensive guy to become open. And then the ball is pinpointed to a certain point on the field. Now it's just a matter of, are we going to catch it?
Yeah.
And once we catch it, are we going to continue to run with it?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Amen.
And that's the honest truth about what we got going with Kansas City and with the running, with the passing game.
So we got the Broncos coming up, guys. What are you guys seeing the Broncos? The Donkeys, 10 straight losses to the Chiefs. The Chiefs are 30-4 in the AFC West. And 10 straight times the Broncos have not beaten the Chiefs, whether it was at, within the last 10 games, home and away.
It's going to be an 11th time. I mean, I think everybody knows it's going to be 11th time. It's just a matter of how much they're going to beat them by. If the Broncos are going to actually show up with quarterbacks this week, or if they're going to have running backs take these direct snaps. And as we've seen, they only had 100 and some yards of total offense.
Yeah.
Now, if you bring that different Broncos team in here, they are going to get demolished and they're going to get embarrassed. But I think they're going to have some type of chip on their shoulder because they felt like everyone is out to get them for some odd, strange reason.
That's a great point. That's the point I was gonna tap into.
So, that may be something that where it
hit dog a holler.
Yeah, it may give them a little extra energy to come in here and play and try to play well. But, I mean, they're going to leave with their 11th straight loss to the Chiefs for sure.
Barbershop?
Well, I know the Broncos ain't won against the Chiefs in about almost 2,000 days. That's a lot of years. It's a lot of days.
2,000 days. It's a lot of years.
Man, that's a whole lot of practices. Oh, that's a whole lot of installations.
Walkthroughs.
That's a whole lot OTAs. Going into trying to beat one team, and it ain't happened yet. So, I think things is going to stay the same unless you do something significantly to change it.
Yeah.
And right now, as far as this season's going on, with the Chiefs clicking on all cylinders, the Broncos still trying to find a way to get a consistent passing game going to go with the running back game. Again, defensively, I talked about it before. If they would just man, just pour all their resources into the defense side of the ball, they might be able to create a defensive juggernaut that would give us a run for our money. But because they're trying to still build around Drew Lock. But unfortunately, they don't have the creative mind. They don't have Eric Bieniemy in the building.
That's
they don't
the
have Andy Reid. They don't have the offensive creativity to take advantage of what Drew Lock can do. And so you got a guy with uber talent at the quarterback position, but they're running high school routes. They're easy to cover.
JV offensive line.
You ain't going to come in here late to the show and then expect to take up all the time. Gave me 3 seconds left. Chiefs over Broncos for the 11th straight time. Julio, we appreciate you. Barbershop, Joe Mays, players only, each and every Thursday. Be back with us. Peace.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Joe Mays on 610 Sports Radio.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.